suitable for you. Subject to terms and conditions.
What kind of lie can a memory hide? Cold Case at the new time tonight, 8:35. Then, be ready for anything. Be our guest. Hotel Babylon follows Cold Case tonight, 8:35. Still the one, Channel 9.
3AW Sports Report for Maxwell and Williams Homewares and Billia Hawthorne. That's where Volvos come from.
23 minutes past 7, broadcasting on, this is 3AW693. Can we be any clearer? Top of sport.
Had that game been played in Perth, there would have been civil war, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. I was watching the end of that, and it's just extraordinary to think that in today's age, where you pay $780 million for broadcast rights for the next 5 years, that can happen, that a siren cannot be heard on the ground. And it was, the AFL was lucky it was played at Aurora Stadium.
It was the biggest shock since Keith Richards fell out of a coconut tree. should Freo be awarded the match? Come on.
Look, in fair play, yes. But they can't be now. As I understand it, the TAB Sportsbet paid out within half an hour to clients, and they were given the all clear. To get a certainty on that, we can go to Gary Davies from TAB Sportsbet. Morning, Dick. Gary.
G'day, Anna and Jen.
Is that correct, what I just said?
Yes, it is, yes. We actually receive a fax from the AFL for every game, and the official goal umpire's card sign comes through. It's sent by the AFL on AFL letterhead, and that just confirms it's got match result. That is the result.
I'm reading from a media release from the AFL as follows, Gary. The AFL is conducting an investigation into the circumstances surrounding the end of the match following a complaint received by the Fremantle Footy Club after the match. There'll be no further update from the AFL this evening.
That's right. I did actually see that. I read that on the was on the website, actually. I read that as well, too. But, I mean, it's just like the races, virtually. The all-clear, correct weight's been given at the race.
No, Gary, it's been semaphored.
Yes, correct weight is only ever semaphored. You don't think there's a prospect, Gary, that the AFL is going to come out today and say that common sense must prevail, Fremantle must be awarded the game, at which case you'll be in the unenviable position of paying out on all 24 runners in the Melbourne Cup?
Well, look, they may do that. I don't think they will, because it's still, the rules are there that say that the umpires end the match when they raise their...
How much money...
Should they do that, Gary, would you then have a legal comeback?
Well, look, I don't think we'd go that far. I mean, what people should be aware of, and there was a bit in the Herald Sun this morning from Jared Daffy, that every bookmaking agency right throughout Australia would rather the Fremantle Dockers win than a draw, even though it might have been a short-term... okay result in head-to-head and, or not head-to-head, but in margin betting and those sort of things.
Difference in figures for you? How much money are we talking about?
Well, I haven't had a good look, Ando, but I'd say it's in excess of 60,000 worse off for us, the draw. And
well, let's take money out of it, Gary. You're a bookmaker. I know how easy it will be for you to take money out of an equation. Should Fremantle be awarded the game?
Under the rules, no.
Righto. Gary, we thank you for your time.
Gary's right, under the rules, but under fair play. I was watching it, and you only have an interest in those games when you've tipped a particular side in your footy tips. That's what it came down to, and I'd given up a three-quarter time because St Kilda was playing so poorly.
Well, should they be awarded the game?
Under fair play, they should be.
Yes. That's John Burns?
Yes, absolutely.
Shane Healy, outside. Should they be awarded the game?
Yes.
There are three umpires. What if two umpires hear it and one doesn't? The one who's holding the ball.
That's okay. End of the game. One umpire has to hear it.
Well, one of those umpires did hear it.
No, emergency umpire. Not one of the three umpires on the ground. Well, the emergency umpire is alleged to have heard it.
Well, it was an emergency.
Exactly right.
I blame myself, by the way. I've been conducting a campaign for deaf umpires for years.
You have,
I just finally got delivered them.
Look, it does go further. You had a situation where the Fremantle coach, Chris Connolly, came onto the ground, which he's not allowed to do, while players are still going. And you had the CEO, did you not, Cameron Swab, who came onto the ground. You had a situation where I think Des Headland certainly made contact with one of the umpires, I think it was Matthew Nichols. That's not allowed to happen. Now, the AFL, you'd think, would use common sense in that and say, well, they're extreme circumstances and we'll let them off leniently. But strictly under the rules of the game, they're all in trouble.
Our call sign, by the way, this is 3AW693, 3AW693. We have got a poll question going, 1-900-910-910, to which we're getting a significant and startling response on the question, should Freo be awarded the game?
Well, tell me this, Ross, why did the game actually end when it did?
Because the umpires raised their hands.
Well, why did they raise their hands? I didn't hear a siren.
Oh, they didn't hear it either.
No, well, why?
They got told that they had heard a siren.
They heard it in the coach's box and the...
No, but Dando's point, to get back to Dando's point, is a good one. They still didn't hear the siren.
They should still be playing. Could have gone overnight.
So, in other words, if we get to the 15-minute mark of the last quarter and Hawthorn's a point up in front of Geelong, I'll just run onto the ground and say, hey, guys, the siren went.
Well, exactly.
Oh, did it?
I mean, who told them to raise their hands?
I heard the Dockers players,
No one.
Well, the Dockers players could.
Maybe the emergency umpire.
Yeah, a couple of them did. I think Mundy was one of them who did, the blonde-headed bloke.
And they all just jumped up in the air and said, game over, and said to the umpire, the siren is
out. I mean, the reality is St Kilda should have won the game. Had Stephen Baker kicked that goal, which he should have done, from straight in front, 40 yards out, would have been, imagine that. And not only that, one umpire wanted to pay him a 50-metre penalty because the Fremantle players were swearing at the umpire.
Dwayne Russell, who we might speak at some stage, said it was a game that looked as if it should never have been played. He said it was played in a sombre fashion because of we didn't realise there was going to be such good news from Beaconsfield Mine. 1-900-910-910 should Freo be awarded the game. Is Wayne Rooney badly hurt?
Wayne Rooney's got a broken bone. His foot is out for at least 6 weeks, which means he goes right up to the starting date, and you probably think he may get fit for the quarterfinals, semi-finals, something like that.
That's World Cup soccer news. Robert Vickers-Willis of Glen Iris near the end, sir.
He knew that Kevin Taylor kicked 100 goals in WA before coming over and playing with Fitzroy in Sydney.
It's 7:30 on 3AW693.
3AW, Southern Cross Network News. 13 degrees in Melbourne, cloudy, more showers at top today, 17. It's 7:30, good morning, I'm David Armstrong. It could be another 48 hours before rescue crews can free two men trapped a kilometre down a mine shaft at Beaconsfield in Tasmania. Todd Russell and Brant Webb have been stuck in the mine for more than 5 days. Late yesterday came confirmation the pair were still alive. Rescue crews have put a microphone near the men and confirmed they are in reasonably good health and in surprisingly good spirits. 2 metres of rock still separates the men from freedom. Bill Shorten from the Australian Workers Union says it is a very delicate operation to get to the men.
What they've got to do is punch through a very small hole. Now, of course, you've got to work out that you send the hole through. There's only a small cavity where these blokes are. And when you're sending a drill through 12 metres of hard rock, want to make sure it comes out the other side exactly just so.
Yeah.
It's like threading the eye of a needle. Of course, the drillers they've got here in Beaconsfield, hard rock miner drillers, they're the best in the world, so with a bit of luck, they'll get that through in the next couple of hours.
Beaconsfield Mayor Barry Easter says although the missing miners have been located, the rescue mission is far from over.
They have described the exact position that they are in and all of the circumstances surrounding that, and the mining company and the other mining experts have got quite a task at working out how they can be retrieved safely.
Paul Howes from the Australian Workers Union says the two men are in good spirits.
Apparently they wanted to know the footy scores. Apparently a lot of expletives came out straight away, but I think they're happy that someone's found them. Obviously the families are ecstatic. We have to remember, of course, that we still have lost Larry and there's no bringing him back.
And Brant Webb's sister-in-law, Natalie Kelly, says the whole town is ready for a huge party.
He's not injured and he'll obviously get a check-up and everything, but he'll know he wanted to get out if he's got every part of everyone from his family, and he'll want to celebrate him, and it'll be the biggest party of the year.
Now to the rest of the morning's news and broadcasting history. A short time ago when the nation's top rating radio station 3AW changed frequency. The station has moved from 1278 on the AM band to 693. The honour of making the switch went to football legend Ron Barassi. He says it makes good sense for the top rating football station in town.
693, a way of remembering a total of that, is it's 18, we are the football station in Australia. So 6 and 9 and 3 is 18.
And 18 being the number of players you're allowed on the ground at any
exactly.
one time. Throw that switch. Ross Stevenson.
John Burns.
Welcome you to the new age on 693.
Australian private Jake Kovco may finally be laid to rest tomorrow after the New South Wales coroner released his body for burial. The 25-year-old's body is expected to be flown to Victoria for a funeral in his hometown of Bryalong. Private Kovco was killed in Iraq last month.